Hey, this is Eddie Green, and welcome to Selling People, Not a Process. We are going to be starting part two of Undercover Superhero. And thank you guys for all the feedback that you guys gave me on the last episode. I got a lot of really positive feedback, so thank you so much. Today we're going to jump right in. We're going to talk about one of the mantras that I live by in life and as a salesperson, and that's the execution of the little things make you great. And we're going to expand on that a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of storytelling involved about how it's the little things that actually differentiate you between a regular salesperson and an ultra high performer. So if you've been following my content that I've been posting pretty regularly on LinkedIn, that has really been the big topic of discussion, is a salesperson versus an ultra high performer. And what is it that separates the two? So we're going to get right into it. The first thing is that the majority of salespeople go in and it is put up and throw up, or show up and throw up. So they go in with their own agenda, their own preconceived notions of how the products and services that they provide are going to be able to be supremely beneficial to the client. But the problem is that it provides no real value to the client whatsoever. So they go through and they do all the little things right. Now, you know, or let's say they do all the big things right. They go in, professional appearance, they're confident, they've got the handshake, they've got the eye contact, and then they begin to present their product. And the problem is they're not picking up on all the little things, the little nonverbal cues. Maybe the person has their arms folded, maybe they push themselves away from the desk, maybe they're not creating, you know, direct eye contact with you. They're looking around, they're checking their phone, they're looking for anything and everything that they can do. This is called fight or flight. And they're looking for anything and everything that they can do to end the meeting. Because let's face it, I mean, you're a stranger and you're trying to go in and build trust in a relatively short amount of time. And you think, because you only have a very short amount of time with this individual, that by going in and throwing up all over them, there is this hope that you're going to hit one of their hot buttons and they're going to want to buy from you, or they're going to want to commit to the products or services that you have. So let's flip the script on that deal. Let's maybe go in and set your own agenda aside. I used to challenge my business development team and say, I want you to go out and I want you to go sell disaster restoration, but you're not allowed today to talk about our company at all. How are you going to do that? Tell me how you're going to get from point A to point B. The best salespeople really don't talk a lot in the presentation. They get in front of, the COI, and they understand that they need to get into intimate details, an intimate conversation with the COI, the center of influence, in order to be able to create the need that for the products and services that they're providing. So how do you create intimacy within that very short amount of time? The best way that you're going to be able to do that is to be able to ask open-ended questions that push your agenda to their agenda. You know, things like things that you're going to show an interest in. Like, I understand this company has been in business since 1952, and you've actually been the head of this organization since 1989. Can you tell me, you know, how you guys survived the recession, and tell me about some of your leadership qualities that you've instilled? You know, 1989 to present is a long run at leadership without going somewhere else. Can you tell me a little bit about that? And then the most important part of the sales process, shut your mouth. Shut up. Don't say a word. Don't speak. Let them talk. Let them come to you. And when you think they're done, at that point, you need to take a step back and ask them a question, like, or say something to the effect of, that's fascinating. Is there anything else that you can tell me about that? And then shut up again and let them talk. And then whenever they're finished, pause for a good 15 to 20 seconds and they'll start talking again. They are going to divulge intimate details about the conversation. that are going to give them the ability to close themselves. Your job is to be an active listener, is to pick up on these needs that they're creating, really honing in, paying attention, listening to the things that they say, and figure out how to redirect your products and services back to them based on the conversation and the details that they're giving you. So again, it's going to be about their needs versus your agenda. Ask open-ended dialogue questions that are going to help them divulge intimate details, and then be quiet. And then ask again and be quiet. The second thing that you want to do is you want to, when you do present, you want to make sure that you are an educator as opposed to a salesperson. Why? Here is how our products and services would benefit a company like yours, and tell apples to apples stories about where you went into a similar scenario with a different client and had the ability to be able to position products or services to them and how it benefited them. So you want to educate them, be an educational resource as opposed to being a salesperson. So you're going to hear me say this over and over again, but the last thing is that you're going to prove how you're going to go above and beyond for them, you know, by answering your phone 24/7, by always having a time limit that you set for yourself on responding to emails or responding to their specific needs. Maybe it is something as simple as that you're just giving them your cell phone number. But above and beyond, servant's heart mentality, this is all something that you've heard from me before. It's not anything new, but it is the little things like that. It's the execution of those little things that make you a superior salesperson versus just a normal salesperson. It seems relatively simple. It really does, but it's not. I watch people go through the motions all the time and can't figure out why they can't get to that ultra-high performer status. It is literally not having an off switch, constantly thinking outside the box about how you can be different than not only your competition, but even than everybody else in your organization. So I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to give you an example of going above and beyond, active listening, servant's heart mentality, and proving to the client that you are incredibly different from the competition. As you know, the majority of my success as of late has come in the disaster restoration industry. So we get a phone call that a small mom and pop bicycle shop had caught fire, and we went over to priority respond to that, which means we were chasing it, and got in front of the center of influence, which was the business owner, and immediately is distraught, completely crushed, you know, standing there in tears and just throws up all over me and says, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "My life is genuinely over. I have my whole life tied up in this business." He goes, "And like an idiot, I declined business interruption insurance," which means that he declined the ability to be able to be paid in the event of a disaster. So he was going to have to live off his nest egg. Well, statistics tell you that 50% or greater of small businesses that incur a disaster that lasts longer than 2 weeks end up going belly up. Well, he's a backbone in the community. Small business equates to 94% of commerce in the United States. So, you know, I immediately shift gears and set my and my company's agenda to the side. We're going to win the job. It's a decent sized job. It's going to be well into the six figures. But the problem is that anytime you're dealing with a fire, it's going to take some time. Well, this guy didn't have time, and he made it very apparent when we walked up. So it was a situation to where I immediately honed in and listened to what his needs were versus what our agenda was. And I listened to him talk about that literally his life is going to be over because of this business. And I surveyed the damage, and I noticed that about one quarter of the contents in the building were lightly affected with just soot and dust and smoke and could easily be cleaned and available for resale if somebody would put the proper attention to them. So what I did is I said, well, look, here's the deal. I said, I can get a mobile office space out here tomorrow. I'll sit over here with you and we'll set you up on Square Register, get it registered to your bank account since your sales systems are down. And we will take these one quarter of the contents back to our shop. We'll clean them tonight, overnight, return them first thing in the morning before you open for business, and you will open your doors tomorrow. You're literally going to only be down for just a couple of hours, which is, you know, because this happened fairly late in the day. He paused and he looked and his whole countenance changed and he said, if you can do that, you literally will save my life. And I said, let me get on the phone. Let me make sure that I can secure mobile office space. I did. Secured him porta potties and hand wash stations for his customers. Got him set up on Square Register, and we took those contents back to the shop, cleaned them overnight, and returned them. And he opened his doors and was open for business the following day. That's not something that we were required to do as a restoration company. It's not even anything that the majority of restoration companies will ever think about. Because to be real honest, you know, let's address the elephant in the room. Restoration companies don't have the best name. They're known for pushing people out of the way, taking their time, overinflating the bill. But I saw a genuine hurt and a genuine need for this individual. And for somebody to tell me my life is over and I have the ability to be able to save their professional life and give them their professional life back, well, guess what that makes me? That makes me an undercover superhero. Guys, I'm always going to tell you this during this series. I challenge you to go change the world. I challenge you to be different. I challenge you to genuinely care about the people that you're trying to provide your products and services to. If you'd like more information on this, please email me at eddie@tierlevel.com for any questions, comments, concerns, additional feedback that you would like to leave, because I'm a big advocate of learning and I can learn from you. So if I'm not learning, I'm not growing, and you can make me better. And I hope that iron sharpens iron and we can all make each other better. Guys, thanks for taking time out of your night to listen, and we'll talk again soon.